We're back on the Weird But Harmless podcast. I'm Tim. That's Ferris. And we're joined by the unofficial member of the third member of the podcast, Brett.
Hello. Hello, guys.
Anyways, we didn't want to spend a long time on, hey, why we haven't done this. We got real life. Moving on.
It's a hobby. You know, you don't have time to we didn't have time to devote for this last year. So we're back for right now. So we're going to have a good time with it. And how's it going?
Put me on the spot, motherfucker. You know I don't. Anyways,
we're back. Hey, we're not waiting.
We're so. This is going to go into this. So we're joined by.
Let's keep names out of it.
We're joined by someone. She ain't special to me, but you know she's special to one member of the podcast.
She's special to our friend group, Tim. She's new. You welcome her.
Hey,
you knew she was important when she got added to the group text. So
here's the thing. I told her that she said she's not going to come on the podcast. But I know that we're going to say something or something's going to come up and she's going to want to say something.
So. I got a feeling it's going to be when we talk about a certain subject earlier that we talked about, me and her kind of talked shortly about at the restaurant. And I didn't agree with her and I just kind of let it die because I'm like, I'm not gonna go with this at this restaurant. I'm not gonna pick this battle here. But I got a feeling that when the topic comes up, I'm gonna say something. She's gonna be like, "How could you?" And then it's just,
ah. All right.
But we did make a rule a long time ago: no girlfriends on the podcast. I distinctly remember this rule.
We did.
I got a feeling that rule is getting thrown out.
I don't know. Well, as long as it doesn't get carried away, I think we had the one rule about not getting drunk. And
we broke that last time.
There was no we when it got broke the first time. It was just me ass out of myself.
Well, me and Ferris got pretty sauced up one time.
That was the birthday podcast.
Man, y'all all got sauced up. That was hard to hold together.
Yeah, and Wade got a little carried away. We had to stop it because it was just like, all right, it's time to
imagine
stop.
That.
Stop the podcast.
We love you, Wade.
I love parts of you, Wade. You know what I mean.
So I figured we'd jump straight into a mystery that Brett brought up before the podcast. And, of course, this always happens that we'll start talking about something, and it's like, whoa, we got to stop because we have to talk about it on the podcast. Because it's never the same the second time you talk about it. You have to talk about it in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah. So, I guess, Brett
take it away.
A long time ago.
Shut the fuck up. Let's get
no, that's I was just bored at the house, and I was, like, looking up stuff on YouTube, and this kid called Riker Webb popped up. He's, like, he's not a creepypasta or anything like that. It's just, like, a bunch of mystery around what happened. Anyways, he was a three-year-old about three years ago, playing outside with his dog. His dad goes inside. He goes missing for 2 days. Like, his dad comes out, he's gone. They find him, like, 5 miles away, like, north of where he lives at. Through a fucking forest at a lakeside cabin, like in the shed of a lakeside cabin. And the before and after pictures of this kid, he saw some shit. And there's theories, you know. Some people say he got kidnapped. Some people say that the dog that he was playing with was a skinwalker.
Okay, so what I was going to tell you earlier before when you stopped me to make it on the podcast, have you ever heard of something called the Missing 411?
Are you talking about the Russian thing that happened in Russia?
It was a show. Yeah. Like, didn't they do a show, like a TV show about
it? Okay, so, like, it's different forms of medium, but it was first created by, and I just looked up the author of it, but something created by David Politis. And guy, he used to be like a former cop or something, too. But anyway, he said that if you really look into it, especially in, like, national park locations, there are disappearances
that are unexplained.
That are, like, it's a lot of disappearances in national parks that are hard to explain. Now, a lot of people that have, even talked about how some of the stuff he is right have pointed out that he only goes after cases that are kind of mysterious, while a lot of the missing person cases are easily explained. But, he basically talks about how, there's, people get found in places that were heavily searched. And that there's just a lot of, there's a lot of disappearances that are like, that's real sketchy. Like, not just normal sketchy, but like alien abduction and supernatural sketchy.
Okay, so,
that's another theory.
So, I am going to be the specified skeptic on this. Okay.
I'm already skeptical.
Okay. But so, go ahead.
Well, he was also found in the clothes in different clothes. So, me, honestly, there's a follow-up video about 3 years later. He's like six now. I mean, they're asking him. He's starting to talk about it. Like, he stopped talking for like a year and a half. Like, he didn't talk. And then he started talking. And like, his brother and his mom were sitting there talking to him. They recorded it. He goes, "What did you see?" It was a man who invited me into his home in the middle of the woods, not near the lake, in the middle of the woods. And you kind of hear him say, he told me to leave or he'll die or something like that. That's what the kid said. Then he just stares like blankly into a wall. And I'm like, what the fuck?
So whatever that kid saw, it fucks him up.
So, but he like, later on, the mom explains that he, the guy that he saw, he described the guy. It was what her father was buried in. Which is kind of weird, too. But I just think that he was found by someone and the wrong people, and they were just trying to traffic him. That's what I think. But how he was found was they searched the area where he was found in multiple times. And two people who own the cabin, they go there. They start, like, getting their stuff ready for hunting, and they start hearing a kid's voice coming from, like, their generator room. Like in their little shed. It was like a generator room. So, yeah.
Lauren, do you want to come and talk about it? You sure?
Well, okay. That took all of 5 minutes.
But the thing is, that explains how he if he was in that generator room for a day and a half, which is a generator room to the cabin, it's going to be warm in there. Yeah. And with like 40 below weather. You know, it probably saved his life. But he saw some shit. The place was like, it's teeming with fucking grizzly bears and fucking bobcats kill a 3-year-old in a heartbeat.
Bobcats are fucking
did they ever do, like, you know, without getting too graphic, like a rape kit on this kid and make sure that nothing
happened?
I could not
find anything about that at all.
Now, with him being, I will say.
But I'm assuming they did.
With him being a minor, they don't have to release that information.
No, they don't have to. But I'm assuming, but the thing is, like, there was no, like, the only thing it says, like, they're investigating the father for, like, negligence. He walked inside for, like, fucking a minute. You know, shit like that happens.
But, I mean, a three-year-old can get a long ways and, like, turn your
5 miles and fucking 2 days?
Well,
I'm
not, I mean, like, they can just disappear, like, whether you know.
Yeah,
where
but still,
at.
5 miles and 2 days. Someone got that kid and took him somewhere. I'm telling you right now.
There's actually a movie.
But why?
I'm thinking trafficking, bro.
Or
that's the logical thing, right?
More disturbing is, you know, trafficking or, you know, like I said, more disturbing is, you know, some people just got a kid fetish. And I mean,
well, yeah, but was anyone who lived in the place? Did they arrest anybody?
I can't find anything about it. That's the strange thing. This is a true case. Like, you can look at the police report. It's true. It's all fucking true. It's not creepypasta or nothing. It's
okay.
True.
Well, how do we know the dad just didn't lie about something?
They just said he was investigated, but he hasn't. There's no arrest on him.
Like, maybe the dad took him there for whatever reason, and then for whatever, maybe he, I don't know, who knows, he got drunk or he left. He just left his son there. I don't know why anyone would be that negligent.
Well, from what was said was, as soon as they found out he was missing, mom and dad called cops. Like, mom was home, but she was inside. Dad was supposed to be outside with him, but he went inside for like a minute. Like, literally, he said, literally, I was inside for a minute.
A lot can happen in a minute. And, I mean, you never know. That, you know, they might have been being scoped up. I mean, I know that sounds like every horror
movie. Or the dog was a skinwalker.
Where did the skinwalker shit come from?
Native Americans, man.
Native Americans.
It's not just around. It's not just like, it's like northern tribes. Like,
no, it ain't just northern tribes. It's so like.
Well, Tim, it did originate in the northern tribes. Those northern tribes were pushed south. And that became part of, like, everything else. But it originated in the northern tribes.
So,
look it up.
So there's, like, a lot of...
Well, keep this in mind, Tim, is that at Poverty Point in 1500 BC, they had evidence that they traded with tribes from Wisconsin.
Yes.
So if they traded with Wisconsin, the stories can't... You know, they probably had stories as well that were influenced
by that. I mean, the fucking Washita River was fucking explored by, like, a Spanish dude, like 1505 or something in Spanish.
Well, I was talking about the Watson Break. You know where that is?
Yeah.
It's 1,500 years older than Poverty Point. It's one of the oldest mound structures in the entire North America. It is 5,400 years old.
You know what? They found a spearhead here that's older than any fucking artifact found by man in the United States. That's crazy, too, if you think about it.
I mean, they say it's from whenever we all crossed the land bridge. Is that connected from a...
That 12,000-year thing is getting pushed out the window the time.
Oh, yeah. It has been.
What do you mean, 12,000 years?
They said that 12,000 years ago, people crossed the land bridge, and that's where the population of Native Americans came from. But it shows that people have been here for a lot longer than 12,000 years. Now it's like 24,000 years.
It's one thing that history is like becoming... It's not like, I don't know how to explain it, it's malleable. It's always changing.
Well, they're always finding like artifacts and fossils that, you know, maybe not necessarily Homo sapien, but like our early ancestors are older than, you know.
Like history's becoming science now. Yeah. It literally is becoming science. Yep. So
I was just given this little tidbit. The investigations in national parks are different than the normal investigations. So some people think it's a cover-up by the government.
So
they experimented on Riker?
No. So one of the things that David Politis dude talks about in that the government, because, you know, national parks are ran by the national government, obviously. But there is no – each individual national park has its own missing person file, but they don't correlate. Like, you can't just, you know, look up how many people go missing in national parks. Now,
You can.
Lower the mic a tad bit.
Like, the government does not officially talk about
it. Now pick it up a little bit.
God damn it.
Okay, there you go.
Now open your mouth really wide.
No. But anyway. But, so.
Oh, Flacco.
The worst part is like, I'm kind of like, I want to believe, like, not for the kid, but like, oh, man, he got abducted or something supernatural happened. But the reality is much worse. Somebody scoped that kid out and took him, which is far more terrifying.
But there had...
And, like, I don't have kids.
There's two logical explanations. He was either picked up and the trafficking happened, or he just fucking literally followed that dog 5 fucking miles.
You know, that's a possibility,
too. That's not impossible. And how old was this kid? 3?
3. He was 3 at the time. He's about 6 or 7 now.
And, I mean, you know... Like we said, a kid could get, I mean, yeah, one, he says it was literally a minute. We don't know how long it was, but I mean, if you don't know what direction he took off in the first place, you know, you take off in a certain direction looking for him, and it's not the right direction. The kid's just getting further and further along. So, I mean,
he could have followed that fucking dog, and that dog could have just led him straight to the cabin.
Okay, who lived in the cabin?
It was like a summer cabin thing.
So someone wasn't actively living there.
No, they said the owners came in, they're like setting it up to like stay in for a little bit, and then they said they heard like noises, and they said they heard like a little kid's voice coming from the whatever
generator,
the shed with a generator. So,
but well, then that shit generator wouldn't have been on if they were just coming there, unless they'd already been there earlier and turned it on.
I don't know.
They don't have automatic generators?
Yeah. You can put them on timers.
You can do so much with smartphones now. Like, so, I mean, it is possible. Maybe they somehow hooked a generator up to a smartphone and doop, doop, doop.
Yeah, like they knew they were coming and they, like.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
They just set it up and.
I feel like we're missing pieces of this story.
I mean,
I can't find a lot about it. I read like, as soon as I saw it, I read like 3 or 4 different articles about it. I was like, I'm not getting fucking shit from this. It's like the same stuff.
Do you know anything about this story?
Interesting.
But the theories are not like from like their relatives. It's like from people online like talking about it. Like,
yeah, I mean.
So.
The weird thing is, though, is like sometimes those how many cases have been getting solved by internet, you know, sleuths now, though. It's like, and I guess a fresh set of eyes never hurts. But
nah. Like someone coming from the outside and looking in can, like, some outside pair of eyes, it does wonders.
What's next on the page, Demi?
History of West Monroe.
You know, I really don't know what Basil wants me to talk about. The only thing that I do know is that, you know, we start with Monroe because obviously that came before Monroe.
Monroe was originally called Fort Myro.
Okay. And it was a trading post.
Yes. A French trading post.
French trading post is correct. Now, between the French trading post and in the 1790s, right? It's on the Monroe Police Department. They have it.
Oh, well, that says 1819 or 17 on there.
Well,
or 1719, I think.
It's been a while. Anyways, who knows the old name of West Monroe?
Trenton.
There's Trenton and Cottonport, actually. There's two hamlets or villages that came together to form West Monroe.
Know your history.
Know your history.
Of where you live.
Now, here's some fun facts about West Monroe.
They have 15 state championships and two national championships.
There are two famous African Americans that were born here but were forced out because their mothers, well, one of them's mother was held at gunpoint for wearing a certain kind of dress.
And told, hey, that's for white women.
Yep. That is Bill Russell's mom, who was a basketball player. And also, most people don't know this, that the guy who started the Black Panthers is from here.
Yep. I knew
Huey
that one.
Huey Lewis.
Knew that one.
He was named after the governor, the old governor, Huey P. Long. Huey. Anyways, got that little thing. And now I guess the next famous guy you have now, you have the Duck Dynasty people, and you have Andrew Werth.
Brady James.
I guess what's her name is from Baskin, so it doesn't matter.
And she didn't get really, I mean, I hate, to her credit, she did get famous, but, I mean, she left and went to Nashville, and that's where she got famous.
Well, yeah, I mean, she had to. I mean, if you want to get, yeah. I mean, for that, you're going to have to get around the people that, maybe not so much now, because of the internet.
We have an astronaut from here. I saw
him
in the
hospital.
Name?
Yeah, that's true.
Fucking what's his, I don't know.
Famous he is.
Yeah, I mean, there was an astronaut from here. And then, who else? Who else is famous from here?
I mean, I guess it just depends on, you know.
Like, who you, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and also, I mean, yeah. Are we calling here West Monroe? Are we calling here Monroe? Are we calling here Sterlington? I mean, what we call
area is small enough that.
Yeah.
Like, I would say that what's-her-name is kind of from here. If she's from, because Baskin's not that far from here. Baskin's like 35 minutes from here.
Yeah. I mean, but it's not in this parish. That's the thing.
No, it's not in this
two
parish.
Two parishes over, so I mean.
Yeah, so.
But, I mean, in fairness to her, she probably, before she left, she probably had to play a couple shows here.
Did you know that Washita stands, like, in Choctaw, which is like a, we had the Washita Indians here. There's W-A-C-H-I-T-A, not how we spell it. That's the French version, how we spell it.
H-T-A.
But they spoke a kind of Choctaw, which, and the Washita means big hunting grounds. Sportsman's paradise.
That's right. Look at there, Tim. And they motherfuckers been here for a long time.
Yeah.
Yep.
They had Watson break.
So whenever I was in high school, I think I was in Latin. It was 10th grade year. To earn some bonus points, they were doing something. They had like this big speech about what they found at Poverty Point and what they figured out, you know, what they, after some research, the reason that a lot of the Indians settled in Poverty Point was just because
higher elevation.
Well, higher elevation, but it was just basically like all, it had every type of natural resource you could need to be able to survive as a, you know, a tribe. You know, fertile hunting, you know, fishing, hunting. The ground was.
But this area was first explored in 1504 by a Spanish guy named De Soto. Yeah, De Soto, something.
And then there was some guy named La Salle. There's De Soto and there's La Salle because there are two parishes named after each one of those guys.
Yeah, but De Soto actually went up the Washita River, so he explored this area first.
Okay.
Fucking dig a hole. Okay.
So that's
so,
the.
We know a fair
amount. I'd say that's more than most people know around here.
Yeah.
Yeah. My grandfather has a bunch of the bones and artifacts. I got some actually right behind you. Look.
Oh.
It's from here.
Oh, man.
Yeah, look at that.
You stole artifacts.
from people. No, Pablo bulldozed them because they were making pipelines, and he kept a lot of the stuff.
Nowadays, nowadays you couldn't even, if you find that, you're supposed to report that shit, and that puts a stop to the fucking
pipeline. But the only history that matters here in Westernroe is our 15 state championships,
down
two natty championships.
They're going to return to him. They're going to bring it back. They're going to bring it back.
I hope you remember. I don't think about that school.
If not, my son's going to Ruston.
God cannot let Ruston keep a state championship.
Well,
that is against God's law.
Well, here's the thing is.
West Monroe.
You can't win in football when all your fucking coaches that are coaching football are fucking baseball coaches. Every single one of them is baseball fucking coaches.
Who's a baseball coach?
All of them.
Okay, all right. Make sure we don't go into names and stuff.
Let's not get too excited on
like
the mic. Either.
Majority of them are baseball coaches.
How do you know this?
Because I've talked to my cousin who's married to who's married to a female that her dad is part of the Rebel Club, and Sambo and his wife
degrees of separation here,
Sambo,
buddy.
And his wife came over to the house to get some baby toys, and he was like, "Well, you can't win when all your." I was like, "What's a baseball coach?" He goes, "Yeah, like half the football coaching staff or more is baseball coaches, like the son,
yeah,
he's baseball."
Is he?
Yes, he's been more baseball than football the entire time he's been there.
Is that true?
Yes, he is the baseball coach. And then you have Kid, who is nothing but baseball, who's a wide receivers coach.
Yeah, well, he went to school with.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like that dude doesn't know a fucking jiggle route from a X, Y, and Z from what I fucking remember. Jesus.
Maybe things have changed.
He probably doesn't know what a fucking RPO is. Tim, do you know what an RPO is?
Run pass option. Well, why don't you go out there and coach a piece of shit?
Well, that's why I'm going back to school and get me a master's in history, and I'm going to go fucking coach because I know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Okay.
Drink your coffee in the morning.
Yes.
With whiskey in it.
I want to coach my son every step of the way and put him in wrestling and let Sensei Ferris teach him the way.
Awesome. Teach him judo.
No, please let me.
I want wrestling. Wrestling is going to be better in football than judo.
Okay.
Dear Lord, if you could let me die way before this happens, I'd really greatly appreciate that shit.
Why? Because I want to spend time with my fucking son and help develop him to a fucking
don't want to hear you like, my son is my... Like, okay, I'm happy for you, but I don't
It's going to happen, Tim, because I'm going to be proud of my son.
Flag line. So, what's on the paper?
So, anyway, I want to ask you this. If your son comes up to you, we're going to have
Tim,
this.
Do not say anything.
I'm
right
not, no, 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 let me,
out,
let me, out, let me hear it. I'm asking you, if your son says, Dad, I'm not going to go extreme with it, but if your dad goes, or if your son goes, Dad, I don't want to play football or baseball, but I really like skateboarding or riding dirt bikes, and I really want to pursue.
I'm like, son, I don't know what the fuck I can do for you with this, but you can go break your legs all you want.
I mean, you probably run just as much a chance of getting hurt in football as you do.
I would say football is way safer than motocross.
Maybe. I mean, if you get good at riding, you don't get hurt no more.
I mean,
if you know how to adjust your forks correctly, you can hit big jumps and you just...
Let's look up the injury statistics between, like, professional motocross and NFL players.
And also, you're talking about motocross and,
let's just do extreme sports.
Well, what's your version of extreme?
And
that's
football.
Not
football. That's extreme sports. Motocross,
there's still a difference. Hold on.
All that shit is.
There's still a huge difference between motocross and like competitive fucking rock climbing.
Well, I'm putting it extreme sports, motorsports, anything with wheels, Tim. Okay. The last time.
Also, there's so like what you're thinking of, like guys who race dirt bikes do not get hurt as much. Now the guys who go to the X Games and do like these fucking jumps where they're 400 feet in the air and they're. Bike breaks right when they hit the ramp down. Yeah, they get hurt. Like, I watched one dude pretty much, like, his bike broke in half and his shoulder just ripped right out. Like, it's actually pretty gnarly because, like, you see in his jersey, his shirt.
See, I don't.
His shoulder just goes.
See, I'd rather have my son have, like, CTE than fucking a broken, ripped
did
out shoulder.
Ever, I don't know. I think I've showed this to Ferris, but did you ever see? He was a. It was skateboarding big jump. His name was Chris something, anyway. He goes down. He makes the first big jump. He clears it fine. But the next part of it is you have to go up the half pipe, and you come back down to slow you down. Well, he goes up to finish out his run. He's probably about 20, 30 feet in the fucking air. His skateboard just goes.
Idiot.
And when he hits, he just hits pretty much head first. I'll find the video.
Okay, so
like he hit so hard his shoes flew off.
I know this is an actual true thing that I heard about and that I read about. Do you know what position on the football field has the most spinal and neck injuries? Spinal and neck injuries.
I'm saying offensive line.
I'm going to go with that.
I'm going to tell you right now, it's a trick question.
If you're about to tell me kicker,
I'm going to be pissed.
No.
It's not a kicker.
It's a trick question. I will admit, it's a gotcha question.
I would say, like, linebackers or tight – whoa, quarterbacks.
No.
I'm still going with, like, linemen just because of the weird way you're
– This is a trick question, guys. Like I said, you're not going to get it unless you just think randomly.
Wait. Is this like a –
kick returner? Or like
– Is this like a funny – like
no, this – If you compare, listen. If you compare the groups, this group has more head, neck, and spinal injuries.
Offense or defense?
Neither.
So I mean, it's special teams.
Neither. But they are on the football field or close to it.
Oh, fucking like the chain gang.
No.
The refs.
No.
Who?
Cheerleaders.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that's not a real sport. Yes.
Cheerleaders have the most head, neck, more than even football. Because you got to think about football, like you're
dropping
wearing
pads. Fucking neck.
You're dropping kids getting dropped.
When I went to, so this past year and two, I went to some West Monroe games because one of my friend's kids was playing. And I look at these cheerleaders and they're like, these like little girls are trusting another girl that weighs 80 pounds to catch them. I'm like, nah, fam.
That's extreme as fuck, Tim.
I wouldn't do it. I say that, and I'm over here like, yeah, I'd ride a dirt bike. Fuck it. I'd ride a skateboard if I could. Now I'm just old, and I don't have health insurance.
But short answer, I would tell him, I don't know what the hell any of this is. Go for it. I'll buy you a goddamn skateboard, and I'll take you to the hospital.
That's a good answer.
Hey, man, as long as you got the premiums, babe.
I'll tell you, then, like, as soon as he hurts himself, I'd rather play football. That's what I thought.
That's right.
Where's West Monroe, goddammit? Fucking skateboard like no fucking sissy.
So, kind of talking about injuries, there's a push by the NFL Players Association to get rid of turf.
Yes.
Because turf causes a lot of injuries.
A lot of, like, the hyperextension, the knees, the ankle stuff, the Achilles stuff, a lot of that. And plus, you're just losing like pounds of fucking flesh every time you hit the goddamn turf.
Could you? Basswell actually played on it. And believe it or not, Basswell and Sammer played on it because Sammer played on it, played an elementary game for it. They both got to play on the old school Saints turf. Do you remember like it was a carpet?
Yes.
Like the old AstroTurf?
It's the stuff that we ran on. Because we used to have it in the on the track, didn't we?
Yeah.
Like the sprinters track.
Do you remember the old school Saints? Like it was like flat. It was like running on concrete almost.
It was like
talking about that shit y'all had. It's like the green turf, but it's almost like it's like that long.
Bears used to have some of that here. We used to roll on.
No. It's literally like a shag carpet almost, like a short.
Yeah.
It's rough. It was very bad, like rough on people. You don't remember what it looked like? It was so short. Let me see if I can find it.
Just like a straight, flat surface.
Yeah, I mean, it was not grass. It was just like soft concrete, basically. Old Saints.
That was called AstroTurf, I think.
Turf.
Yeah, it was called AstroTurf.
And they changed it in like 2002 because we played it on 2004. And that was – so what we played on was the first turf they had before Katrina. They had some on there before Katrina, and then it got destroyed. No, look at it. Look at it right there. Yeah. It's just flat on the concrete. Like, that's what it is. The old turf. Anyways, what's on the list, Timmy? Why don't you keep it over here?
Because I got nowhere to put it.
All right. Fair enough.
Put it in your butt.
Gi versus no gi.
Oh, I won. I just won $35 on a $5 bet. Come on, guys. It's easy.
All right.
Before halftime, I won fucking money.
I'll take your word for it.
Do you want to see?
I know. I believe you. It's just I'm not doing it.
So.
Oh, yeah, I took it to sports betting.
Everyone's taking it up now.
I mean, I don't have a lot to do besides go to the gym and fucking raise my son and fucking be a stay-at-home dad right now. And I'm highly medicated all the time.
Yeah.
I talk to a shrink like two times a month.
That's good.
Yes. It helps.
Yeah, that's what they're for.
I killed people during the war.
That's what I did. It helps. Helps a lot.
So.
All right.
I'm not a psychopath anymore, Tim, like you.
Yeah. Yep.
Tim's a sociopath, not a psychopath. What was the next thing on it?
Gi versus no gi.
Gi versus no gi. I think we've talked about this before.
Can me and Tim go on this before your expert opinion?
No, go ahead.
I think no gi is more practical in real life scenarios. I would say no gi is better than gi. Which I've done no gi, and I've done no gi at work.
I can't answer the question. I mean, I can, but at the same, I prefer no gi. Now, my problem with the practicalities of it. What are the practicalities? Because I mean, we're looking at it from a sport jiu-jitsu concept, and that's not practical. When you're on the street, this shirt I have right here might as well be no gi. Now, what you two are wearing might as well be gi. It's thicker. Yeah. My shit is going to rip easily.
Yes.
You know, but y'all shit, you know, takes a little bit more force and can be used against y'all.
Yes.
But at the same time, you're talking about it from a standpoint of there is a great equalizer that is when somebody gets on the street and gets hit that first time and their head bounces off the concrete, it don't matter how good you are at jiu-jitsu. That is something that you cannot physically, mentally, or any way prepare for.
That's one thing I never just like. When they practice jumping guard and shit like that, I'm like, this is so fucking stupid. I'm never going to fucking do this.
I've been
in multiple fucking fights, and I would never fucking put
jumping guard has its practicalities, in my opinion. Now, I've never done
in the sport, yeah.
Yeah, in the sport.
It does, yes. Yeah, I agree with that.
When you cannot hit, having someone in your guard, to me, is a very benefit. You know, if you cannot hit, being in guard is the best position to be in because you can do the most submissions from that. Now, I mean, Ferris being way more advanced, he might be like, oh, I can do this and this and this and mount. But if you're in mount and you can't rain down blows, being in mount kind of seems like a shitty position to be in.
So I guess I'll give my take on the gi versus no gi. So I like both. If everyone's like, I like this one better, I like that one. I like both. To me, it doesn't really – because I can make no gi grips with a gi on if I want to. Mm. So – when it comes to practicality on the street, there's a few things you have to kind of take in mind. Is that, one, there are, you can say the gi isn't realistic, but how many people are wearing just spats? No one's just wearing spats. Yeah. Now, here, where when you're talking about, when you're talking about practicality and, like, no gi and gi and all this stuff, there's too many variables in a street fight. In that,
yes.
And there's too many variables in the way you practice jiu-jitsu.
There's more weapons around the street.
So, I mean, there's weapons, but, I mean, let's just talk about it from...
There's hope and friends don't get involved.
Let's say that, let's start with jiu-jitsu, like sports jiu-jitsu. Okay, so we all know with the Gracies, the originating of jiu-jitsu was to be self-defense and fighting people, a bunch of people in the streets in Brazil, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, it's changed. It just has. So now you have to take into consideration that when you most people who are training jiu-jitsu, you have people like Gordon Ryan. And I'm not saying that he couldn't defend punches. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying he wouldn't be, because he probably does train that way anyways. But let's just say all these high-level guys that are doing it, when they go to the tournaments, this is the most unrealistic way of using jiu-jitsu in a street fight.
Yes.
It's just unrealistic to certain degrees. Because you are going to get in positions like leg locks. Leg locks are fantastic, and they've changed the game of jiu-jitsu. But if you're in a street fight and you grab a leg, you could rip his leg off. But if the guy just doesn't want to stop, maybe he's already hurt. Maybe he doesn't care. Maybe he's drunk. Maybe he's high. Maybe he's crazy.
He just goes for his knife in his other pocket and just starts stabbing.
Well, hold on. I'm not even getting knife. Let's keep the weapons out of it. He could just stomp on your face. You put him in ashigarami, he just stands up and stomps on your face and knocks you out or punches you because you're committing both your hands to his leg to hurt him. Maybe you can do it somehow one way, one arm. Maybe you can. I'm sure there are people who can. But if you do sport jiu-jitsu, you have a little bit of common sense, you're going to have advantage over somebody who doesn't train at all. But there's going to be scars in your game when it comes to punches and kicks. It's just going to be that way because you don't train for them.
I've always thought subconsciously, whenever we're rolling, I'm looking for a tap or someone's looking for me to tap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't care what you say.
Talking to the mic.
If you roll 100 times a fucking day for fucking 12 years, and there's someone always tapping, subconsciously you've done it so much, you're going to be anticipating a tap. And tap, and you're not. I 100% believe this.
Actually, I can
that you will not go 100% the entire fucking time.
I can actually vouch for that because I remember one fight I had, like my gym I trained at. We didn't do ground and pound when we were rolling. You know, we trained sport. You know, we would kickbox and we'd beat the shit out of each other. We went to the ground. We did not ground and pound. So one fight, I completely forget to ground and pound. You know, I had the dude in multiple bad positions, but I couldn't get the tap, and I should have been just raining down blows because I had to, you know, I had him in a triangle now, and I talked to the dude later on. I had him in a triangle, but what happened is he told me, he was like, your cup, you didn't have it at just the right angle, and the way my head fell up against your cup, it created just enough of an air pocket that I could fucking breathe. But his head's right here. He's not moving. And my coaches later on told me, he's like, dude, you should have been hitting the shit out of him. Like, you'd have busted him open.
He was expecting you to tap, more than likely. Like, he was like,
I know. I was expecting him to tap. But like I said, I didn't have it. I didn't know it. From the position I was in, I had it. But he told me later on, he's like, you didn't have it. And you didn't have it all the way. You were, you know. Now, looking back, I was like, I should have turned. You know, I was straight. We were both straight. And I had him, and I should have just turned a little bit to where it would have finished out that chokehold. But he told me, the way he fell, it created just enough of an air pocket between my cup and my leg that he could breathe.
All right, I'm going to address one thing that Brett said.
That's where muscle memory comes into play.
I'm going to address one thing with Brett, and I'm not going to discount what he says, but I'm going to talk about just – I'm going to get to it. Just, so you're saying, like, you should have been punching.
Yes.
If you look at the old school –
Like I said, my school, we didn't ground and pound, so my instinct when I was on the ground was just to go to rolling. I didn't, like, it wasn't to be, oh, shit, I need to be hitting this dude in the face as well right now while I'm burning out. So, like, I completely agree with what Brett says, is, like, if you can get so used to doing something, like, when you roll your teammates, you probably don't go 100% when you roll with them, do you? I mean,
sometimes it depends. Sometimes we go really fucking hard.
Okay, that's fine.
Like,
but I mean,
me and Chris have gone like really, like intense round. Like, in one thing that I'd noticed is that whenever we would roll very hard, we would also, like, we've done some MMA together and fought, and the watching out for the strikes and the intensity were about the same. Like if you get into that kind of mode where you know this guy's going to be punching and hitting you, in a way it makes some of the blocking and stuff a little easier because people give you a lot of space. So whenever I would go get somebody who's throwing lots of punches and kicks, it's about being cognizant of what you're doing. If you're doing jiu-jitsu and you're not really thinking about it, I think it's a mistake. Like, unless you're getting ready for, like, say, a tournament. A jiu-jitsu tournament is going to be far different than getting ready for an MMA fight. It's not the same. And then the self-defense is not the same as MMA because people can headbutt you, and that's a big one. People can be on top of you and headbutting you. And here's the thing. Sports jiu-jitsu, having great guards is fantastic because you can tap people from all these kind of things. In a street fight, you want to be on top. You don't want someone in your guard. Don't want someone in your guard. You do not want them in your guard. And if they are, you don't want them there for long. Now, I'm trying to. This is a complicated topic.
If they are there, you want to fucking pin them on top of you. Like, you don't want to give them any kind of. You want to fucking hug them and keep them down on you. Because I've been in that situation.
Control position.
Yes.
Control is more important than the submission. Even Helio Gracie kind of talked about it when he said, like, the tough guy. He doesn't care if you break his arm or break his leg. There's some people who don't give a shit, but everybody has to be able to get blood to their brain.
Yes.
Everybody. So
I've used blood chokes.
Blood chokes are far more effective. When it comes to self-defense, you need to be looking for chokes and or getting on top and punching him. That's what – you don't need to be looking – do not give up the top position for an arm lock. That is the dumbest thing that you can do. Do never give it up. It's dumb. One thing that Chris does that's really good is that we also incorporate grapple boxing. Punches, and we don't hit hard with the knees and the elbows, but we let people know if you're in a position, you're told to hit the ground as hard as you can and let them know, oh, you're in a shitty position. And you'll be surprised how many times you get there. You have to be kind of locked in. And I think one way to kind of get locked in is to get hit really hard one time. And you're like, oh, okay, that is sport jiu-jitsu that I'm doing now. I need to do self-defense. And then if I get on top, I need to punch this motherfucker. Or I can control him with the top position. You need top position. You need a smashing position. You need somewhere where you can control this guy or get away from the situation. Do not have this guy in your guard and fighting him from your guard. I mean, if it ends there or if it gets there, yeah, you mean use your skills to deal to self-defense because there's self-defense from the guard. But if you can help it, one or two things. Either stand up, which is the most – I know it sounds stupid, but we just stand up. And I think, who was it? Derek Lewis? Just stand up. There is some truth to that. If you can get back and stand up, and if you're a jiu-jitsu guy and you don't train to pin somebody and keep them on the ground who doesn't want to stay on the ground, you're wasting your time. You got to be able to stop somebody from getting up, even in a jiu-jitsu match, in a self-defense situation, or a MMA situation. Now, you're talking about, like, the tap, and, like, you're gonna let go from tapping. But the problem is I've seen too many videos of people on the street who some train, some don't, that snap arms and hurt people and, like, put people – because they don't let go.
I've seen that too, Ferris. But you cannot disregard muscle fucking memory.
You can't. I'm not saying that you can't, but
– I'm telling you, there's videos out there that show that same shit where people are just, like – that aren't, like, fully locking the fucking leg lock or the fucking arm bar out and shit like that.
And we also got to know how much do they train and is it just some guy off the street? Because anyone can do an arm lock. But if you've been put in an arm lock by a black belt who knows how to properly do it, it's a lot different than someone who's a white belt. Except kids, because for some reason rip your arm off.
Yeah.
But I've seen it in the street where people just... The worst ones to me are Kimuras and, believe it or not, omoplatas.
I've done Kimuras a lot at work.
Kimuras are very... They're a strong guy move, but they're an effective move.
Especially when you're trying to get their arm behind the fucking back and put a cuff on them. More works every fucking time. That's Americana.
Yeah. Americana, yeah. Kimuras, those kind of positions help. But if you – nowadays – you know, Gordon Ryan said it the best. He said that the jiu-jitsu that we do is not as good as Sambo when it comes to MMA. And he's right. Because all these jiu-jitsu guys can go in and tap all these Sambo guys with leg locks, but those Sambo guys will beat the shit. Well, you can see it. They get on top position, and they beat the shit out of jiu-jitsu guys because they get on top and mount them or just lock their legs up and throw rain down punches because it's more effective for MMA than what they're doing. Or how Sambo uses strikes in their training, so they're going to be better at striking than people who do jiu-jitsu who don't use strikes. If you don't train for strikes and you go into a jiu-jitsu, like you're a jiu-jitsu guy and you don't train against strikes, you're not as protected as you think you are. You're going to have more advantage than maybe someone who doesn't, but you're going to get surprised real quick when that elbow comes down or that knee comes down out of nowhere and hits you in the head.
Yeah.
You know, it's just – but everyone kind of will say, like, it's a gotcha for jiu-jitsu, but you can't do certain things. Like, boxing, like, you probably don't need to sit there and jab with somebody too much in a street fight. You maybe just get the hell away from them. You know, you have kickboxing. Like, if you are boxing and you go into a kickboxing match, even if you have great hands, that kickboxer is going to eat your leg up alive. Well, it's just going to destroy you.
Jocko said it best. I watched this, like...
Talk to the mic.
It's always... This has been in the back of my head. Jocko said it best. This was, like, years ago, and I watched him say this. It's been in my head. It's like, you can punch me, I can get away from you. I don't have to come after you or anything like that. I'm just if someone's trying to fight me, I'm getting away from them. But the moment they put their hand on me, that's when everything changes. Cause then they have you, and they're the aggressor, and you can be free in court. Which is like, hey, yeah, he's right. You know what I mean? You can fuck that guy up then.
Hold on, so, a second. That reminds me of something that I was going to talk about that I forgot about. Okay, well, let's just say the weapon stuff first. Someone has a gun. There's a reason why Sam Colt said, like, the Colt makes you equal. Like, yeah. Made all men, like, whatever that quote was. It's like, not all men are equal, but it's like the equalizer. Well, God, if you go to beat up...
God made man, Sam the Colt made him equal.
Right. That's the quote. Mm. And that's the... that's really the crux of the thing, is like, a gun is... That's the number one thing when it comes to self-defense.
Because that's the number one small kid,
like a 15-year-old kid, that you could just beat... Or a woman. You could just go and... Most men can physically dominate and beat a woman to death. But if she pulls out that 9mm... all of a sudden, she is, you know, that makes a big difference. And if she knows how to shoot a little bit...
I'm the captain now.
You're fucked.
I'm the captain now.
She pulls out a pistol and shoots you in the chest with it. Even a 22 is going to... Most people are not Rambo. They're afraid to get shot at. Most people are just like that, okay? That's the great equalizer. Now, next thing is, you have a knife. You know... Women don't punch as hard as men, but a knife in their hand makes them extremely deadly to any person on the planet. I don't care if they're an MMA fighter or who. And now you put that knife in a 250-pound man's hand. That's a big, you know, in knife fighting, the best thing to do with a knife is to get away from it. You have to think about those things in a jiu-jitsu match. Or if you're using, like, self-defense, any kind of self-defense, punching, jiu-jitsu.
If you decide to attack the guy with a knife, you're both pretty much likely going to get cut. Or stabbed.
Yeah, it's dumb. So. There's a reason why ancient people wore armor. Because your body is soft, and knives are hard, and they're sharp, and they're pointy, and they go in you, and you die. And it doesn't matter how much self-defense you know, or how much jiu-jitsu, how much boxing, how much kickboxing, someone stabs you in the neck, you're dead.
All this, like, taking the gun away from people and shit like that, you've seen these guys do it super fast, I don't give a fuck who you are. That is dumb as fuck.
What y'all texting over here?
Now if a guy pulls a fucking knife on me and he's like 5 feet away and I have my fucking concealed carry and appendix carry, I'm gonna blow a hole in that motherfucker.
So I'm gonna tell you, getting to the next aspect we're talking about, the law. That's a big one.
People don't know their
you
law.
You can, like, get attacked, and then you start winning the fight, and then you get on top of them, start beating the shit out of them.
You become the aggressor.
And here's something else that here's another one. You punch somebody. You get in a fight. Even if he throws the first punch, you throw a punch and you hit him and knock him out. I'm not saying you won't get away with it, but you're going to have to go to court for that. You knock him out, he falls, hits his head, and he dies. You got to go to court for that.
That's still manslaughter. I mean, you can plead self-defense all you want, but it's still going to be manslaughter.
You're going to have to fight that in court. Somehow, unless there's some kind of, like, there's always variables. Like, there's a camera that shows, like, this guy just came up and started beating the shit out of you, and you threw one punch and knocked him out, and then he hit his head. You may be able to get into court and take care of that. I'm sure there's, like, I don't know how the law works, so there's going to be a million ways that could happen.
Weirdest part is, like, when you learn the difference between civil court and criminal court, because, like, how many cases have been won in criminal court, but you lost in civil court?
Right.
It's like, because that person's, you know, yeah, you might be found innocent in criminal court, but that family's suing you for killing their... Yeah.
Here's something that, you know...
That's what cops deal with a lot. They'll win in that fucking, in that court case, and then they'll be sued civilly by the family, you know? But that's what the fucking, you know, our,
Union
and stuff is for.
Like, hey...
And PBA.
Your son was a piece of shit, and that's why he's dead, not me.
I know I'm a fanboy, but I'm going to say it. One of the most dangerous self-defense arts that there is, when you really think about it, is judo.
It is.
The most dangerous one is fucking firearms usage.
Brett, I'm not talking about firearm usage. I'm talking about, like...
That's a martial art.
Okay, I'm talking about hands, punching, because all those throws that you do, and you land on a springboard mat... You don't really realize what that does to somebody. You fucking put a Haragoshi or a big time throw where you land on top of on this concrete, you can fucking hurt somebody badly with that. There's some throws that people that they don't know how to break fold, they don't know how to tuck their chin. You're gonna Osotogari somebody's head into the fucking concrete, and you're gonna kill them.
Break their neck.
You know, now obviously it comes to the self-defense and the law and where this, that, and the other. We've talked about it, blah, 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 1,000 times, right? But you have to keep that in mind that you might kill this person because you decided to throw them. So.
Yeah.
Murder. Horse
judo.
Horse beat. That horse has been beaten.
Okay.
Where are we at?
Significantly.
We got plenty of time.
So what were y'all texting? Y'all over here being secretive.
She asked me for the Wi-Fi password.
Oh. Loose lips sink ships.
Timmy, my boy.
One day I'm gonna use the force, and it's gonna.
Anyone in jiu-jitsu, let me know what y'all think about what we said. I know I missed some stuff. We lost train of thought, but we'll get to it.
There's another thing about jiu-jitsu, like just training. Like I've trained over there, like I haven't done it in a while, but I've gone there for like 3 or 4 years, and off and on, and I find my like me and my like my
speaking
my.
My
can't, what am I trying to fucking say here? That my strength and everything is there. My cardio has always, well, the first few times I went, it wasn't laxing. Like when I first got into it, like a while back, wasn't laxing. It was like, I've always been so much bigger and stronger than like 90% of the people there that I never went fucking full force. I just don't think I shouldn't, like, I was told not to. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'll, when it comes to for takedowns, for instance, there's a guy named Steven, there's Grant, and there's a few others, not many, even the ones, some of the ones closer to my size, different. I don't, say Grant and Steven, I throw them and try to take them down as hard as I can.
Yeah.
But they are wrestlers. They're D1 wrestlers. Yeah. So they do the same to me. We kind of understanding, like, hey, we're going to go hard. You know, we're not doing anything dirty. But the small 150-pound guy that doesn't do any judo or any wrestling, I don't throw him hard.
But that doesn't help them.
Oh, I didn't say I don't hurt them. I said I don't hurt them. I didn't say I didn't throw them.
Okay.
I trip them, I do whatever.
Like, so when those guys comes up against like a 260-pound guy like me that fucking, you know, deadlifts 500 fucking pounds and squats 500 pounds and shit like that, and they're like trying to fight this dude in real life, trying to save their life, that doesn't help them.
It doesn't help them. That's why you should learn to do takedowns. You should, but here's the most, okay, when it comes
to, you know how hard it is before one of them try to take me or you down, probably? And I haven't done it in a fucking while. I guarantee I can stop them from taking me down.
You probably could, but here's the thing. A lot of them don't train enough takedowns. You know, a lot of them, and I don't know what everyone does, but for the most part, they don't, a lot of people will start from the ground, and I tell people, like, that, hey, stand up. Like,
is there any like MMA professional stuff out there right now that doesn't have a weight class anymore?
No,
I know UFC used to not have weight classes.
No, they all have
one. That was real fucking fighting.
That's also why they didn't get paid and they didn't get sanctioned.
I understand that, Tim. I understand all that still. But if you want to get closest to like a real street fight as you can, that 250 guy drunk guy at the fucking bar that was a fucking linebacker at fucking ULM and he's hasn't played football in years, but he's still fucking solid as fuck against a 130-pound purple belt in jiu-jitsu. That 250-pound guy that's fucking a tank will wreck that motherfucker. I don't care if he's a purple belt or not.
I don't know. I've seen it, and what you think happens isn't normally what happens. I'll tell you what normally happens is that they go to the ground, but nothing really happens because they can just mitigate it. That doesn't mean self-defense doesn't mean I'm going to go and beat the shit out of this guy.
Oh, yeah. I know.
What the 130-pound purple belt can do that someone who doesn't train can do is get away from that situation.
Yes.
Get away from him. You don't have to win the fight. You do not have to win the fight.
But if it's a life and death thing, though, Tim, in fairness, I don't think that guy wins.
I know some people that can lock some shit up. But you know another problem that happens to people? Big guys who are – like the guy who hasn't trained or he hasn't played football for years – he's got about 30 seconds in his tank.
30 seconds might be all he needs.
It might be. You might be.
you're trying to change a variable here. It all comes down to this. Who is person A and who is person B? Because, I mean, yes, you're right. Sometimes the dude
size and power will win 90% of the time.
When all there is, there's no training involved, size and strength wins every time.
But if there's training involved – especially if that 130-pound person has that killer mentality, that's a lot of it, too. Because you're looking at it from, this jiu-jitsu guy might not – he might be that motherfucker that takes that 250-pound dude and right when he's there on the ground rips his fucking eyeballs out. I mean, we don't know. You're trying to look at it from a – yes, I 100% agree with you. You take two dudes who don't train, that 250-pound dude is going to kill that 130-pound dude. But you take a 130-pound dude who trains and has a killer mentality versus – 250-pound fucking tank. 30 seconds.
You don't remember Black Gold, that TV show?
Oh,
where that guy wasn't tiny, but he wasn't as big as Tank, and he knocked that dude out. And,
yeah, well, that's a TV show.
No. It was. And at first, people were saying that wasn't a real knockout. I went back. That's a real knockout. He knocked that dude out cold.
I will put money on this. That 250-pound.
Why don't you speak into the mic?
A 250-pound guy that trains out like not like wrestling or anything like that, or anything that just trains weightlifting and stuff like that. Who's like he taken may
when you
speak
into the mic?
May have taken a few little classes, like two classes or something. And there's a fucking 130-pound fucking purple belt. 90% of the time, I don't care if he has a killer mentality or not. That size and strength will fucking destroy that kid.
I'm telling you, there's a guy named Daniel Savage that I don't know, man. His motherfucker's
tough. Look at fucking Cody Washington. That dude weighs.
Cody Washington is
Just think of like Brock Lesnar with no training versus that guy.
Well, her problem with Brock Lesnar is that he did have training.
Well, take the training away from him.
Brett, that is 100. I'm not discounting it. All I'm saying is that the 130-pound guy has a better chance than you think. And it's what it might be.
That's why I said 90%.
That includes getting away from it.
I didn't say that. I said a fight to the
speed
death.
Speed of the mic.
A fight to the death right then and there. Like,
and I also think
like,
Ferris is
like,
right.
Like post-apocalyptic, fucking there's a scrap
okay,
of goddamn.
Now we're changing this.
Like there's a scrap
Anyways,
of piece of bread
back,
on the
back
ground.
So the next topic was.
That big guy's hungry.
I've also seen dudes who could bench press a truck but gas out in 15 fucking seconds. It's not the same. Anyway.
So we got about 25 minutes or so. I want to get to OnlyFans for a second, and then I want to get to the questions, okay? So what was the question about OnlyFans? What did Basil say?
Is it detrimental to society, basically?
Okay. Thoughts on OnlyFans? The guy using it, I wrote this question. And how its role in modern day economics is either a net win or loss for society.
There's so many ways to break this apart. Yeah.
That's the problem, I know. So I'm going to kind of say my piece on this, and then I think I've said this just about every single time, is that there has never been a society where there hasn't been a guy that wants to get laid in some way. He either wants to see it or whatever sexual thing, and a woman who's going to provide it. That has existed since paintings on the inside of pyramids till the Roman Empire till now. That has existed, and will as long as we have our monkey brains, there's going to be a guy that's going to pay to jerk off either doing something to a woman or looking at her. One that exists. It is never not going to happen.
Yeah, it's been around.
This is what I feel about when it comes to OnlyFans. No, just porn, OnlyFans, just include all porn, whatever you want to say. Huh?
Not really.
Here's the thing is, OnlyFans, okay. OnlyFans, there's fucking hardcore porn on OnlyFans.
Yes.
But there's also this, like, painter from San Diego, California. That just wants to sell her paintings and show her how she can do it. This is how I do it on my OnlyFans. I paint, you know, and that's how she makes her money. But a lot of the money that's made on OnlyFans is fucking naked people and fucking porn.
Especially the ones that make a shit ton of money.
Yes.
So,
like those top 0.1% of women are like making like millions.
And they hire
Hey, I told my wife that made me get on there and do something.
Hey, I was on my part of one myself.
All right, society.
Do it.
I don't think, I don't think it's any better or worse than porn has ever been. I think it has shown that we're all a bunch of fuck. I mean, like you said, we're a bunch of monkeys and.
Here's the thing is, this can go in so many directions.
That's a problem.
We can bring this back to, like, the women's, like, freedoms and shit, like, sexual freedoms like that. Okay, raise your hand. I guarantee you, I can walk into a room, or, like, I can go in Walmart and just over the loudspeakers. Who here wants to be a stay-at-home mom? And let the dad take care of all the bills, have all the money they need, and fucking be able to go on vacation twice a year. who just want to sit at home and take care of the kids. I guarantee you a majority of them will raise their fucking hand. It all, okay, so this whole OnlyFans and Chatterbait and all this shit,
by the way,
it's like, it stems from that sexual freedom and stuff like that. In my opinion, it does. I think it is like, I mean, I don't think, I wouldn't marry one of those women, you know? But, I mean, and they bitch about, oh, I can't be getting a relationship. Well, you're shelling your fucking asshole on fucking line for fucking $5.99 a month. I know, but, I mean, to you, what's more important? Being a grandma, 99 years old, you're on your deathbed, you have 5 generations that came from you. Your son, your grandkids, your great great grandkids, like that. Would you trade that for selling your asshole for $5.99 a month? That's what I'm saying. It's like there's things that we've lost in this society, which is where this is coming to now, that is detrimental in my opinion.
So I was saying this is the point I've always made about OnlyFans.
Like you, right. Women create. All great fucking life. Yes, we help. We just diddle, you know. You know, and then, you know, but you start that fucking, that chain of like multiple generations that come from you and your husband or whatever, and you're on your deathbed and you have all these people that loved you, that you created. Staring at you on your final minutes and everyone's loving you and stuff like that. Or you can be a 90-year-old woman with 5 cats and you can't get a relationship because you sold your asshole for $5.99.
Okay, y'all still watch porn, but you don't want
to marry it because you're still advocating for it. I stopped watching porn like I used to a long time ago, like when some shit happened. Tim still watches it, I know.
I never, hold on. Like, but, don't be sitting there like, oh,
but
don't.
I y'all are going to
put it out there. Y'all are putting the meat out there for it. Y'all are the ones that are, like.
We are the demand.
Yeah, yes. I mean, it's targeted towards us. I mean, and men who fucking, Tim, that give money to this shit, in my opinion, hey, I understand that some guys need to have that fucking, that whole satiated, like, I'm alone, I need this shit, you know, I need it, you know what I mean? And it's addicting. Porn's a fucking addicting. I know it is.
Extremely addicting.
Yes.
It's natural. So, it's natural. It's like sugar. It's like, of course, human beings always reach out for sugar, but we couldn't get it. But now you can get sugar at any time you want.
More power to those girls. But I guarantee if me, 2011, was getting out of the Marine Corps, and I found out Brittany had been talking to for 6 months, was on fucking OnlyFans, selling her asshole and pussy for fucking $5.99 a month, would not be married to her right now.
There's always going to be a cost-benefit to whatever that you do.
Well, I mean,
it doesn't matter what.
There's always
a trade-off.
A cook out there that'll
there's a trade-off. Her. There's a trade-off to everything. My only thing is that I have no problem with it existing. I just think whenever there are more guys that want to see it because for whatever, like our society is kind of crumbling.
It is.
People don't have good jobs. People don't have good relationships. People are lonely. That affects men and women. Women are trying to make money, and it's hard. You go and try to be an accountant. Sometimes it's fucking hard to make the money because your dollar doesn't go anywhere. But you have more of an opportunity to do this, a OnlyFans stuff, but that affects you.
But it's so saturated. Excuse me.
We can't hear you. It's kind of hard.
It's so saturated. That business is so saturated. If someone that we know, like my wife or something like that, try to get into this, it's so saturated now, they wouldn't make a fucking cent.
So, no.
It's hard. It really is. Do you think if you started one and you gave it a year, you'd be in the top 0.1%?
Okay, so I'm going to be the expert on this. Because I'm that dude. Okay. I'm sorry, Lauren. No, you would not.
I don't know.
The women who are in the... you want to know how much some of these women make?
Tim, you got to speak in the mic.
Some of these women make $1 million a month. And so to be in that top 0.1%...
Thanks to Tim.
I actually don't contribute to those. I don't know shit about Chatterbait. I'm just saying.
We need to have a Twitch night with her at the house when we go Tim, we're like, Tim, look it up.
I was an expert at finding out if people had them.
All right. So, without being an asshole here,
okay,
we've beat this into the ground. We've done it for like 12 minutes.
Okay. Detrimental
to get to the question.
Detrimental to society, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, I will say this. Hold on. I want to throw this out there because. So one of the chicks I followed for a minute, and she is absolutely beautiful. You can't say nothing about her. She was a nurse in New York making, and she even did an interview with us. She was making $7 to $7. She been chilling back there. We talked about
Tim knows her life story. I wonder how much he gave her.
Keep going. I'm going to spill some shit on you here in a minute, buddy.
Oh, Tim, we all know you're on there following her and y'all are probably
texting. Okay, good story.
Anyways, but she was talking about how, you know, as a nurse, she only made 70 to 75, but, you know, she did OnlyFans, and she ended up being in one of the top 0.1%, and, you know, obviously she makes a shit ton of money, but it's like, my thing is this, if you're not going to be able to be in that and actually make legit money doing it, there's almost no point. It's not that, it's just like, that is their fucking career. That's their career. These people who make that.
Speaking the mic.
Uh-oh.
That's their career, though, like. And like and I'm that loser that follows these women. I'm part of the problem. I'm not trying to sit here and act like I'm high and mighty. But these women who make that type of money, that's their money. I don't know how much they're taking home, but they hire professional photographers. They rent these beautiful exotic Miami Beach locations. Like that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm really saying is the difference.
They have like producers.
Would you let me fucking talk?
I'll just ask the question. Okay, right, they have like producers and shit, don't they?
Okay, I'm director. All right, Brett, let him talk.
Yes, the single mom sitting in her fucking house with a shitty ring light making it OnlyFans. Yes, she is not. Depending on what she wants to do, she's still making porn. But the ones who are making top dollar on OnlyFans, they're the ones that have, they have professional photographers come in. They have the only difference between them on OnlyFans and, like, let's say a porn site like Bang Bros. There's not a middleman. They don't have agents and a middle company. That's the only difference.
Bring back memories. Bang Bros.
Bang Bros.
The Bang Bus or Bang Bros?
Bang Bros has wasted a lot of time.
Hey, you know what? I'll give you a solid $150,000 a year. You could probably do it.
So what you're saying, Tim, is that it's almost you have to have some money a little bit to be able to get.
I don't even know if you have to commit to it. That's just it. Yeah,
like from what I asked Tim.
And like, let's take her for instance. If you're not willing to fully, you know, like take your job, and I'm just making up a scenario here, but if you put yourself taking a fucking pine cone in the ass on the internet, it's fucking there. And dudes, we can't find where we set our fucking keys, but if we will find a way to find if a chick did porn. Like,
imagine, dude, your son going to school, like, mom, they showed me.
That's my the point I'm trying to, why I say it's detrimental to society is, like, I know a few chicks that have them personally. And one chick, yeah, it's the best option for her. She's got
girls are like, I'm saying the girls that want that life, I'm all for it.
I mean, I'm all for it too. Like, I'm just my thing is this.
As long as that's their choice and they didn't have to make it out of desperation. That's what I think. As long as people make a choice and it's a choice they want to make and not have to make, that's why I support it. It's like, "Oh, you wanted to do it? Great."
Like I said,
it's kind of like people who are poor in a country that have to become prostitutes. If a woman wants to become a prostitute, I'm supported. But I'm a little squeamish when it comes to there's so much goddamn poverty. That's the only way she can survive. I don't want to wish that on somebody. What I'd rather have a society where people can choose to do it without having to be forced to do it.
Whatever. Communist.
No, just what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's like it comes down to being able to make that choice out of not being desperate. And that's what's kind of happening now. People are getting desperate but even guys do it. We go into crypto shit and like, and
I mean, you can
lose
make
our
a
money.
You
men
can
are
make
dumb,
a theory,
dumbest shit when it comes to that kind of stuff.
So Ferris, you're in Soviet Russia in World War II, and you're a Russian soldier. Would you not be for those roaming whorehouses they had?
I don't know. I wasn't in World War II.
I mean, but you know about these,
with
right?
My brain now, I would not do it because that's how my brain is. But I mean, if I was raised in
Oh, you mean you had a girlfriend?
like, that's one thing in history they never teach.
I will say this. It's funny to hear the because, like, even though, like, there are variables that are different between me, Ferris, and Brett, I think our opinions are very much pretty close to the same. But it's funny because, like, you know, hearing different, when, you know, when you were talking about it, you thought OnlyFans was empowering. And I know some other hardcore feminists that are like, no, this shit's degrading. And it basically brings it back down to a base level of that man is not respecting you and he is not looking at you as anything other than a physical object for his carnal desire.
That's the first wave feminists.
Do what?
What are you
going to
do with that? What are you going to do with that? It's always a factor, she said.
I guess it's a simple effect. I'm not saying what the answer is. I'm just saying it's, you know, like that chick I knew that was a nurse. Now, which one do I have more respect for her as? Is like, you know, hey, she was a nurse. You know, obviously the nurse is a more respectful profession than getting railed on camera. But I also understand, hey, this chick wasn't able to pay her fucking bills and realized, hey, I'm hot. Dudes will pay to watch me get fucked on film.
Tim just
all right. Let's go to the next. Tim just thing.
Like split between first wave feminism and third wave feminism. Right there. Tim just talked about it. That's awesome. Like, first wave feminism is like, men are just using you they're exploiting you on OnlyFans like that. And then third wave feminism is like, you go do that, girl. You make that bank, queen. That's third wave feminism. That's what that is.
All right. Does the price of the whiskey reflect its quality? Does more money equal a better product?
I can speak on this because my dad and my uncles had a still for a long time.
Okay.
At our camp. And the still's in my dad's shed at my mom and dad's house. And that whiskey.
Got about 10 minutes,
That whiskey they made. And I still have a jar at the house. It smells like fucking gasoline. But that shit, it can taste good. Like there's a blueberry, but that shit was. This is 95 proof. It's right there with this shit. Guarantee you with this rabbit hole, whatever.
Rabbit hole's good.
I can't speak for whiskey, but I can say for vodka, like you buy cheap vodka, it tastes like.
I got to pee. I'll be right back.
It does taste like cheap vodka. You buy Grey Goose Absolute or some higher end, it does taste better.
Kentucky Deluxe does not taste like rabbit hole. You can buy a fifth of KD for like $10 back in the day. It was in a plastic bottle. Whiskey in a plastic bottle. If your whiskey's in a plastic bottle, that's not worth drinking. I'm telling you right now, don't do it.
That's what they use to clean fucking grills and shit. Look, you know what I mean? And I think all alcohols are like that, though. Like beer, you know, Bud Light and Big Wave don't taste the same. No, I mean, it's personal preference.
Yeah, because Bud Light makes you gay.
I wish I, you know what though, I wish I could talk to that little girl to some extent and be like, hey, like not even be mad at her, just try to pick her brain. Like, did you not know who drank Bud Light? Like, I get it. You were trying. I mean, I get it. You were like, hey,
did this?
Yeah, it was a chick like fresh out of college. If I remember, she was like 24. If I remember correctly, it was like her first.
No. You're talking about that trans tranny guy.
The person who brought that to their attention, though.
Oh, shit. Just got back from pissing. This is going to be this.
The only Bud Light thing I know about that we were talking about was that dude chick that was, like, endorsed by Bud Light.
Okay, yes, but I'm talking about the girl, because that was.
I don't remember that.
Speaking of the mic, Tim.
That, you know, that whole, like, let's get this person to be our, let's get this trans person to be our spokesperson. Was brought to an attention by like a 24-year-old little girl. It's like the chick that was in charge of marketing. I'm pretty sure this is accurate because I remember I read something on it. But like,
oh yeah, yeah, okay, no, you're talking about
yeah, because it's not like Bud, like the head of Bud Light didn't go.
No, it was the marketing.
It was the marketing team, and the person who was in charge of that particular thing was like a 24-year-old chick.
Dude,
was,
and their sales like dropped.
It
like
dropped
60. I won't say 60, but it dropped like 40.
It dropped till they weren't number one anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. Just all you have to think about is this. There is a saying in Joe Dirt. It's not what you like. It's the consumer. When it comes to Bud Light, it is for a bunch of redneck, conservative dudes that want to drink beer and watch football. And there's nothing wrong with it. There's Dutch big tits on TV. But that is the brand. That's what it is. Your brand is to sell to these people, okay? Brands are made, you know, Legos are made. I know it's zero from 99. It's for kids, okay? I know there's now there's
no, they're a group not.
Of, yes, they are. They're for,
no, they're not.
No, they're not. But my point is, like,
fuck you, I play with Legos.
Do you think Lego, I mean, do you think Lifetime movies are made for 58-year-old men who work in a factory?
No,
they're
made. No. I enjoy them, and I always cheer for the fucked up guy that's beating his wife.
What? But my point is, there's. You have Zimas that are made. Do they still make Zimas?
Zimas.
Zimas are non-alcoholic.
Do they still
beers,
make?
Dude.
Zimas are. No, they're not.
I'm pretty sure Zima was non-alcoholic.
I think you're fucking wrong.
No, Zima's alcoholic. Zima's. Anyways, what I'm pointing, what I'm trying to say is that there is a reason why you are, you have a base that you advertise to. There's always going to be overlap, but for the most part, you want to stick within there, and you don't want to piss them off. Okay. If you're, if you work for Remington, you don't want to become anti-gun because nope. Then no, it's stupid. Okay, but if you're, I don't know, you're Progressive Bank that has or Progressive Insurance, and you support progressive causes, you're probably not going to support Donald Trump. Okay, I mean, it's just just end of the story. But y'all got off on a fucking rail. We were talking about whiskey and the price. This, as the higher the whiskey, the better it is. And my opinion is that it is to an extent, and then you get to a point where there's no more, it doesn't matter how much more you go. Like, to me, once you get into the $100 range, it's probably as best as whiskey as you're going to get. And we're talking about whiskey. If you have a $1,000 thing of whiskey, I'm not saying it won't be good, but is it worth the $1,000 compared to the $100
probably
one?
Not, probably
I don't think it is. No. And that's going, now Scotch,
that's
if you want to be, if you want to be a Scotch douchebag like Drew, yeah, I don't know, I really can't say, I can't, this is where the question comes from. I can't say whether or not, but I imagine it's not too far from the truth. Like, if you have a $5,000 Scotch bottle versus a $1,000 one, what's the difference? Now, do I think that the Skol vodka, like, or like the, what's that cheap one that people get? Like the
Skol?
Skol?
Taka vodka?
That shit.
Well, I would say Skol's worse than
Skol
Taka.
Skol is Taka. Skol is worse.
But what I'm
Taka.
Saying is, like, I'm not, people are, I'm not comparing those to the expensive ones. I'm just saying, like, you have, let's say, Absolut, or you have Tito's, which are considered like a, not higher, but you know, Grey Goose and stuff like that. It's
Grey
not
Goose gets a
you probably have
Goose.
Some that are more expensive than that, but how much better really are they? Now, do I think those are better than the taco ones that the homeless man drinks? You know,
yes. Hey man, you know, sometimes you gotta get what you can get.
I understand
man.
That. I understand. I'm not.
You
I'm not,
gotta wet that whistle.
You gotta wet the whistle, and you gotta be cheap. You know, you know, selling cans and
you
sucking
gotta make
dick
a dollar go a long way, baby.
You know, an alleyway only gets you a certain price
Ferris,
nowadays.
I have a funny story about you. You gave me, I think it was my no, it was when Brittany, we told you Brittany's pregnant. You bought me like 3 cigars and like a pack. And they were like expensive cigars. And there's this homeless guy underneath the bridge on I-20. I was like in my unit. And I wrote it in the window. I was like, here you go, man. He goes, man, you give me this? He's like, is that weed? I was like, no, that's just a fucking cigar. Jesus, just have it. I gave one of the first like $30 cigars to the homeless
guy.
Probably the best thing he's ever smoked in his life.
He probably cut it open and put all his weed he had in there and just smoke.
Hey man, homeless people want to get high too, bro.
I'm not blaming them. I'm just
one
saying.
Topic. That's it. We're done.
One topic. Because we have
Trump
about
being,
4 minutes.
Being not allowed on the Colorado ticket.
He just got placed back on it because it was ruled unconstitutional.
Oh yeah, it is, right? Because you know why it was ruled unconstitutional? This is for history. Who was the last president that happened to? And what happened because of it?
Richard Nixon.
No.
I'm not sure.
Abraham Lincoln, Civil War. The Southern states did not put him on any of their ballots.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Just look it up. It's worth the Google. Lauren, I know my history. I'm going.
It's worth the Google.
Especially back in South Carolina. Like, they were beating people. Were trying to pencil their fucking Lincoln's name in on it because they wanted to vote for him. They're beating the shit out of him. But also, that's when politics in America was cool. They would have these parties that would like kidnap people. I forgot what they're called. They were kidnap people and they were dress up as the people they kidnapped and vote his entire family and himself for whoever they want to put in office. What was that called? That's how we got in the United States when after 1776 there were parties of people that will go around kidnapping whole families and voting for these people to have people get elected. What was it called?
Yeah, it happened for a long time.
I can't remember what it's called. Like Wig something, I don't know, something. But it was
something
crazy.
Like Mollywappos or something like that.
It was something crazy. Like we used to, that's how we used to roll. I think we should still do that.
Okay, let's see. We only have a few more minutes left. Let's kind of strong past these questions we can. The NIL or whatever it calls for the college football. Is it ruining football or not?
It's ruining it.
Yes. Yes and no. Should these guys be able to go to these different colleges and get paid money? I think especially the big name college. But because hell, they're making like almost million like $500 million for these fucking schools, man. These guys are like they're going out there risking getting fucking hurt and not be able to go to the NFL to make money like that ever again. Yeah.
I'm not saying there's no positive qualities to it. But maybe we shouldn't go from like completely restriction to Wild West. Maybe there should have been like some,
I think
a few
they should only be able to in 4 years of them being eligible for college, they should be only be able to transfer twice and that's it.
Yeah, I think that's one. If you can stop the transfer like all you want, I think that would probably
be. It used to be able to, you have to do 3 years at one college, and then you can enter transfer.
Man, there were so many different rules because what I heard. Like,
Kirk Herbstreit put it on, like, he told, like, exactly how it used to be to how it is now. I was like
you had to transfer to, like, if you transferred to, like, a certain college, like, if you transferred to a D2 college, you could play right away.
Yeah.
And then come back.
Yeah. There's certain things, like, if you graduated early at, like, fucking at Tulane and you're like a fucking 4-star recruit and you got all these yards for Tulane and you just graduated, you got another year of eligibility, you could then go to another college if you want to and do something else. You could do that also.
All right, next question is there anything going to happen out of the Epstein client list? Do you think anything's going to happen? Or
I,
these people are
I know my boy Trump wasn't on there.
No.
The people
are
fucking liberals.
The people on there are too rich and powerful for anything to happen to them. I'm not saying they won't get ostracized, but are they going to get thrown in prison? No.
But people who are going to throw them in prison are on the list, too. Yeah.
But here's the thing is, for the last so many years, like this finally came out. They're like, Trump was on there. Trump was like, his name was not on the fucking list. Not one fucking time. So, I mean.
Well, Trump won't be on it then.
I mean,
the heck is the answer question. And nothing would happen to him if it was.
Boys, there you go.
And nothing would have happened to him if it was. Is the real estate market going to crash from Joey?
It's already crashed.
The other one was from Caden and Brandon for the last two questions. Thank you, guys. No? Things crashing?
I think it'll crash, but I think the problem is, I don't think, when it crashes, I don't think it'll be people like us who buy the houses. I think it'll be...
No, me and Brittany are trying. Going to get another house.
All right, how many untrained average 14-year-old Cubans do you think you could fight in a row before your cardio runs out?
15.
I think you got about 4. It's gonna be rough.
Wait. How old are they?
14. They're 14.
14. Man, those are basically
and they're Cuban, so they're lying about their age. So they're like they're like 20.
Yeah. So yeah, they don't know how old they are. They're just saying the 14.
Yeah.
I'm 12.
I'm 12. You know what? I'll drop that down to 5. I'll drop that down to 5.
I say I got about 3.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Let's give a small shout out to Trenton and Allie for their wedding stuff and like their productions, music productions and everything. Tech D Productions, they will take care of all your music and
official sponsors. Official sponsors.
I don't know yet. Are you going to be special sponsors? Tech D Productions.
Any event you need some DJing for, though, that's who you need to go to.
They will just make sure we know what the music is, so we don't have the vulgar music.
Tim, you should start.
Not that
the
they
show.
Did. They had to take care of it. And they are better for it.
You should start the podcast every time now with like a guitar riff, like.
It's just too much for us. by the way, Trent, we might get you to help us with do some stuff with a motherboard on here. You know all this stuff, and we talked about it before the podcast.
I can do your motherboard.
Trent knows how to do it. We're going to talk to him. All right, thank you guys for what y'all do. Oh, and make sure you buy real estate from Trent and Allie.
Use DraftKings.
DraftKings.com.
If I send you a friend request, I get $100 in free bets.
Sorry, Trent and Allie, if I said all that wrong. Y'all know what I was trying to say. But I think I got it right. Tech D Productions, they do DJing work and lights, and it's a very high-end production quality versus crappy.
How much did you get paid
here
on the side for this?
I didn't get paid
anything. I didn't get paid shit.
This show brought to you by Maju LLC.
Maju LLC. Okay, final thoughts, Brett. Let's go. Rapid fire.
Final thoughts. It's fun coming back again, guys.
When you want to do it next? Well, I guess we'll have to do it when I come back from Turkey.
What when you come back?
13th.
I'll still be in Florida.
When are you coming back?
The 15th. 15th.
All right, Tim, we're going to do one when we get back.
That's fine. I'll still be here in Louisiana.
In Louisiana.
Florida.
Tim, any last thoughts?
Nah.
No, you're good?
I'm good.
Well, we're back. This will be a 2-week hiatus, which is normally our normal week, anyways.
Usually it's been like a 6-month hiatus.
We're going to try to do a 10 day every now and like.
If you want to, we try to do it every week once you get
okay,
back.
Everyone a week. No, it was like that last year was like that long, but we got to a point where we were doing every other week or every week. Let's see. Well, anything else?
That'd be it.
No. All right, guys, and we are.